Hello, I'm Kasia.
And I'm Dylan.
We're sharing a clip from our paywall discussion with critic Stephen Moore about his two-volume alternative history of the novel.
He explains to us how the novel has a longer and broader history than is often supposed, and gives us a preview of a supernatural horror story that he edited, The Adventures of Lady Aguirre. This was originally published in 1585.
And it will be released by Sublunary Editions in September of this year. To hear the full conversation, be sure to check out our Patreon page, which we will link in the show notes. First off, I wanted to ask you why the novel classification mattered enough to you to write these two tomes on the subject.
I discovered long ago that I was taught that the novel started basically in 18th century England, you know, Robinson Crusoe and Richardson's Pamela and all that. But then over the years, that was way back in the early 70s, I started seeing all these other books that came out quite a bit earlier than that. And I wondered why they weren't part of the novel history, you know, the history of the novel.
Mm-hmm.
And partly then I found out that there were no novels, histories of the novel. You go to a bookstore, you find plenty of history of art, history of opera, history of ballet, but no history of the novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed there was also a problem with nomenclature. A lot of these pre-modern novels were called, you know, romances or epics or, you know, sagas, in the case of the Icelandic novels. So there seemed to be a certain amount of confusion there, and that confusion also persists to this day. I'm a big fan of experimental fiction, and a lot of those novels, and they are novels, but they're dismissed as the, you know, lunatic fringe. They aren't real novels. You know? I remember coming across an Amazon review of one of David Markson's later novels, and it begins by saying, "This isn't really a novel, it's a," and then they go on to describe it, but as if there's only one small definition of a novel, and things like, you know, Markson doesn't fit. Now, of course, they mean the conventional novel, but I've always been more interested in unconventional novels, and consequently, I felt that it was necessary to not only broaden the definition of the novel and then examine the whole history of the thing. So that's how it came about. That's what inspired me.
Yeah, and when you talk about the difference between, or lack of difference between something like a romance book versus a novel, why do you think that history has sort of bolderized this concept, this definition? Why has it put so much limits on it? And why is that so widely accepted at this point?
You know, I think for a long time there was a prejudice against book-length fiction, if you want to call it that. You know, poetry and drama is what qualified as literature up until 100 years ago. If you went to Harvard and studied literature, that's what you read. The novels were just, you know, side entertainment, like comic books or movies or something. So as a result, there was no real impetus to define them or theorize them the way poetry and drama were. I mean, those were, you know, subject of critical thinking all the way back, starting with Aristotle and defining what, you know, the metrical feet and the shape of a play and that sort of thing. But no one said anything about book-length fictions, even though they were being written. So they just, you know, no one bothered to give it a name or think about what they should be called. And it was like the neglected stepchild of literature for two millennium, and people just didn't pay any attention. And then when they did come to consciousness, sometimes they just missed, like when the Icelandic sagas came to English-speaking readers in the 19th century, they called them sagas after a Icelandic term instead of novels, which they really are. They're the historical novels. And so the kind of laziness, when they discovered Gilgamesh, someone called it an epic, which is not really an epic, it's more like a novella. So laziness, sloppiness, you know, again, this idea that novel was a modern thing, so they, if they came across some ancient Greek novel, they would call it a romance rather than novels. So, although I did notice after I started researching this that specialists have been calling these things novels for a long time, it's just that specialists write for specialists and doesn't filter out to the general reading public or the average critic, you know. So it's just sort of that, just kind of sloppy thinking or not taking novels seriously until recently and just calling it whatever they wanted to call it.
Yeah, and you are, you know, I think rightfully hesitant to give any precise definition of what a novel is or isn't, because anything you try to say necessarily ends up excluding something because it's such a capacious category. But for you, where does fiction in the novel start and nonfiction end, to the point that anyone could draw a distinction?
It's choosing the author's attitude towards that. If you want to write just a history of Napoleon or the French Revolution, for example, you would just stick to the facts and all that. But if you want to dramatize the French Revolution, like Dickens did, The Tale of Two Cities, well, then you take a different approach. You know, you start inventing dialogue and, you know, playing with the historical record a little bit, maybe fudging a few facts. And then, of course, you know, introducing patterns of imagery and stuff. That's where the literary craftsmanship comes in, which doesn't really concern most historians. Hmm. So it's a, there's a blurry line there, especially with historical fictions. But that's, again, that's why I'm kind of hesitant to nail down a definition. And finally, I decided, you know, who are critics to decide what is a novel and what isn't? I mean, if a novelist wants to call his book a novel, and the publisher wants to publish it as a novel, shouldn't they be able to decide to it? I mean, if Nabokov wants to call Pale Fire a novel, why not? I mean, it doesn't resemble any conventional novel. Have either of you read Pale Fire?
I think I did many years ago.
I haven't gotten into Nabokov yet. That's one of my biggest blind spots.
Okay. I mean, it's basically a 999-line poem followed by 200 pages of notes preceded by a preface and an index. Now, that doesn't describe any novel, but, you know, usually it's published. And yet, Nabokov called it a novel. So why not let him decide? Let the novelists decide. So anyway, so that's why, it's a fuzzy conversation, but I try to get through with it as quickly as possible in my introduction to the volume one, because I wanted to get to the novels themselves. I didn't want to endlessly debate, you know, what is and isn't a novel, and try to define parameters that novelists are happy to jump right over, you know. So